It's water. It says Jeff on there. Don't drink it. At home, I love green tea. And for whatever reason, this past year, I learned that it took me 55 years, but go figure. I could take green tea and make it, and I can keep it in the refrigerator and have like a perpetual flow of iced tea. I don't know why I ever didn't do that before. So, you know, the Smucker's, peanut butter jars, I saved those. And they're great for like tea. So I just kind of rotate them in and out. And my one son, he's like, "Hey dad, the tea in there is really good." I'm like, "Were you drinking out of my tea?" He's like, "Did you drink it out of my tea?" Yeah. So he's like, "Oh dad, yeah." So if you come to my house, don't drink my green tea. But I did learn something new this week. Actually I saw last night, I never heard anything about this type of therapy before in my life, and then I saw somebody was arrested for this. Somebody was arrested for, what did you say? Did you see that article? Had you ever, so Esther's heard of it. So it's called slapping therapy. Has anyone heard of that? Okay, stay away from Esther. Okay, so, cause Esther's heard of it. So, Esther's gonna volunteer. John, you heard of it? Alright, so John has some good jokes. So slapping therapy, right? So I never heard of it. Yeah, woke you right up. So yeah, that's like the only time I ever heard of slapping therapy. But anyhow, there's this thing called slapping therapy. And it's a thing. Esther knows about it. She uses it on Jim. So slapping therapy is you're supposed to like, and people get bruised. You're supposed to, they go to these seminars and dude, come to my house. I'll put on a seminar. I'll charge you whatever and I'll slap you silly. But they slap each other till they start to bruise. And it's supposed to be like you're slapping joints and your head to get toxins flowing. So do I have a volunteer who wants to? Yeah, that's what I saw. Right, go figure, right? Yeah. So this lady in the UK, or she was from California, went to the UK. That's how I saw the article. This lady died from slapping therapy. The doctor that was, or the practitioner was put in jail because of slapping, I guess, whatever. I didn't read that article, but anyhow, slapped her too hard. He slapped her silly, a little bit too silly, but so that took me into some jokes that talked about therapy, because there weren't any really good slapping jokes unless you get into Will Smith and a bunch of slapping there. But why did the Christmas trees go to marriage therapy? They kept needling each other. You have to deal with some of these. There weren't too many. Why did Christmas cookies go to therapy? That's a good one. They were broken up. Now they felt crummy. So they went to therapy. And then why did the Christmas lights go to therapy? They just felt burnout. So Janet, I got at least a Janet out of that one. So that was the therapy jokes today, but this morning, we hit December, and I really wanted to get into December and the importance of Christmas for the month of December. And we have it in our house a lot because one of my daughters, I won't mention her name, Jacqueline, that she likes to sing songs and all she constantly sings, even like all summer, she'll be humming like Christmas music. And I'm like, are those the only tunes you know? But sorry, Jacqueline, but that's Jacqueline's always humming Christmas music. But December, I think about Christmas and I think about Jesus and I think about, you know, what we celebrate as people, what we celebrate as Americans, what the world looks at Christmas time. And there's something that always, in December, and I always thought about it, but, and every time I read the Christmas story again, which mostly we read in December, right? The Christmas story, we go over the birth of Christ. But today I wanted to step back and start looking for the month of December, but look at an aspect of the birth of Christ that I've often just wondered in my mind. Okay. So that's kind of the journey we're going on. And today's message is called Trust When Plans Change. Cause we know in Proverbs 16:9 says, a man plans his course, but the Lord directs and determines his steps. So we know that from Proverbs, right? We also know from Proverbs that, and it says in Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails. The Lord's purpose prevails. So we're going to be looking at this morning how some of our plans change. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. And the more I read it, the more I realize that we're really limited on the knowledge that we have of you. And we know the what we're supposed to know, but there's so much other stuff, Lord. And Lord, and as we look at the Christmas story and we think about Christmas this December, Lord, help us to remember that we're here for a blip. We're here for a short time. And help us to remember that we need to be continually telling others of your love and what you have done for humanity, Lord. Help us this morning. Speak to us as we look at this topic of your earthly Father. And you know, we pray, amen. So kind of looking at Joseph this morning. But when we have plans, you know, we have plans for everything, don't we? We have plans for, I had made a list, plan out our lives. We plan out our education. We plan out our careers. We plan out many times our spouses. Some countries don't plan their spouse. Well, I was thinking spouses of, I couldn't just grab Jen to say, hey, you're my spouse. She had to kind of jump in and say, okay, I think I want to marry you too. So that's what I meant. But yep, spouse. We plan out stuff for our families. A lot of times we plan out when we're having kids. I had a discussion with a guy yesterday, a young guy. We were talking about finances and he said something about kids. And I said, just so you know, when you're planning out your family, you're never going to have enough money for kids. So don't think, well, I can't have kids yet because I don't have the money. I need so much. You'll never have enough money. And after you have the kids, you still won't have enough money because they just suck you dry. But so I said, you know, you can't like hold off on those plans. Right? Because life is a joy, right? But anyhow, we plan out for our families. We plan out for our finances. We plan out where we are going to live. We plan out our transportation methods. Am I going to buy a truck? Am I going to buy an Audi? Am I going to drive my Audi on a nice day or not a nice day, Dick, right? That's what Dick does. Well, it's rated. I'm not taking the car out there, but we plan out our methods of transportation. We plan out our route of transportation, don't we? Well, I'm going from here to Philly. Well, do I take the Schuylkill today? And now we have Google and maps and everything else. Well, don't go the Schuylkill, go old 82 or whatever down and go around this way. Or we plan out our routes on how we plan everything out. We plan out what we're going to eat. We plan out where we're going to eat. We plan out when we're going to eat. We plan, don't we? That's what we do. We plan what we're going to wear and so on down the road. We plan, we plan, we plan. As a matter of fact, this morning I wasn't planning on wearing this shirt. And Jen asked me, she says, what are you wearing today? And I'm like, I don't know. It's not something I really plan. I just grab something, what's on top of the pile or the first one on the rack, and I put it on. I get in trouble for that because I never match. But anyhow, so I look and I saw what Jen was wearing. I said, I'll surprise her and I'll try to match her. So I planned what I was going to wear to match Jen. So we plan all these things. All these things. But what happens when our plans change? Because many times, which we all know, right, our plans change pretty much all the time. And many times when our plans change, especially on the big life stuff, the big life endeavors, when our plans change, how do we react? Are we trusting the Lord with those changes? And that's what I wanted to look at this morning with Joseph. Matthew, you can open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And this begins the birth story in Matthew of Jesus, our Savior. And I'll just read this story out here. We're going to read Matthew 1, 18 through 24. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. I often think about that. We don't know a whole lot about Joseph, do we? We really don't. I started thinking about, as a dad, and as a family, we know a lot about, well, not a lot, but we know a good bit about Mary. We know a great deal, well, we know the important aspects we need to know about Jesus, right? God, our Savior, dying on the cross for our sins, that we know that we can only have eternal life if we believe in Jesus Christ. We have that stuff down. Joseph, what do we know about Joseph? Really, what do we know? We know he's a carpenter. We know he's a righteous man. So as a dad, many times I looked at that, I'm like, Joseph, like who was this guy? He was, you know, Mary, we see a lot about Mary, and many in the Catholic Church talks about the Blessed Mother Mary, and that's a good call. That's what Scripture, we're supposed to say. But when we look at Joseph, what do we know about him? And I start to wonder, like this verse in verse 19. You know, Joseph found this young lady, and I think of this as the human aspect. So when we step back, I'm not reading into Scripture, but I'm just looking at Scripture and our humanity, how we are as humans. So as a guy, as a man, I think about Joseph, and he found a woman was that he wanted to marry, that he wanted to have children with, that he wanted to spend his life with, and different than how we are today, because Joseph was a simple carpenter. he wasn't in a palace. He probably didn't have this big, grandiose home. He was from a small village, and he was from the city, like from the line of David. But we don't know much about him. I'm sure he wasn't like this big industrialist carpenter. Yeah, that's not what we know. That he didn't have a lot of money. We know he's a hard worker. And so Joseph, and we don't even know if the half children of Jesus, his brother, his siblings, were they half brother and sister from Mary and Joseph. Those are things we don't know. We don't know if Joseph was married prior and his wife died and then married, because we just don't know. Historically, we know that Mary was probably a younger woman and Joseph was probably a little bit older, but we really don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. So what I see here, this is what I saw out of this. And this is what I began to just question and look at and just wonder as we look at the Christmas story and we think about Joseph and Mary, of course, Jesus, but I think about Joseph as a dad, the earthly dad of Jesus, and his plans changed. His plan was, I'm going to marry Mary. That sounds a little, I'm going to marry Mary. I'm going to marry this woman named Mary. And he took her and pledged to be his wife. That's very common, very, very human. All of a sudden, as they start the process of husband and wife, and they still haven't, you know, had sex or anything. We know Mary was a virgin when she gave birth to Jesus, but it says that she was found to be with child. Whoa, plans change. Because what? Is that human? How humanistic is that when, and I think about this, how did that look? Did Mary come up to Joseph and say, Joseph, I have to tell you something. I'm pregnant. Think about that. All of a sudden, Joseph's whole plans changed. Whoa. This woman, this young lady, this girl that I loved, and we followed the Jewish Torah. We followed the law. By law, she should be killed. That she was promiscuous. That she had sex outside of marriage. She should be stoned. That's what the law said. Joseph now was faced with this decision of, I love this woman. I have plans. I'm planning out my life with her, and all of a sudden, boom, plans change. Plans change. And what did Joseph do? He contemplated this in verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to the public disgrace of what she did, even though she didn't do anything other than she, Mary, was following Jesus, were following the Spirit and following what God told her to do, following what the angel told her that this was going to happen. She was just open to what God wanted from her. That's what she did. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. So his first plan was, I'm going to marry this woman. I'm going to marry Mary. And then all of a sudden, these plans change. What did Joseph do? And then through the planning process, he was a righteous man. And we know through this that Joseph just wasn't righteous from the standpoint that he was a hardliner on the law. Because by the Jewish law, he should have taken her, and they take her, and she goes back to Deuteronomy, they take him to the father's house. And at the front door, they stone the woman to death. But Joseph said, you know what? I don't want to have this public disgrace, because he loved her. He loved this woman. And what did he do? So he showed grace. He showed a humbleness to her. He showed love He showed compassion. And he showed all these qualities that now we see who Joseph was. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, now all of a sudden his plans changed because he had plans, and Proverbs tells us we have plans, and they're for the Lord's purpose. So all of a sudden, these changes happened in Joseph's world that changed the whole dynamic of his family, didn't it? Can you imagine that? And what had to take place? So as he was hit with this, my wife, and we know what he was thinking, my wife, who was, they were engaged, right? There was a different type of process then. But my wife at the time, she cheated on me. She cheated on me. This woman I loved. And that's what, and then all of a sudden in the dream, now Joseph had to put his trust in what God wanted of him, didn't he? That's the only thing we can look at, is that Joseph now hearing the angel, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're supposed to name him Jesus. All of a sudden now, this carpenter, the earthly father of Jesus, his plans changed in a big way. I would think in a big way. I imagine what that conversation was like. You think about it. When we think about Mary and Joseph and we think about scripture, this is how you think that Mary walked around, like the whole world was like shining on Mary and like everyone, it wasn't like that, was it? But that's what we think about. We think Joseph, Joseph, it wasn't like that. Joseph was a poor carpenter who worked his tail off, and Mary was probably a young girl that wasn't from a wealthy family's poverty. And here we have now these two people coming together. And now all of a sudden, this a blessing, but a hardship. Because now they had to try to convince people that Mary didn't, that Mary didn't have sex with somebody and became pregnant. So now they had to rely to say, this was prophesied about Jesus. This was prophesied about the Messiah to come to be born of a virgin. And Joseph now had to change his plans and come back to that prophecy, which is in Isaiah 7:14. And I'll read that prophecy real quick. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And he will be, and they will call him Emmanuel. That was the prophetic word from Isaiah. So Joseph, the Jewish people knew the prophetic word, if they believed it or not, because they're human like us. They weren't walking around following, they're so spiritual and love God so much. That's not what was taking place. These were everyday people. That Joseph got up in the morning, made his coffee, because I think that Joseph liked coffee. That, I don't know if he did, but I think he must have liked coffee. So, and he went to work. Found this woman that he loved in town, and they wanted to get married, right? That's kind of the rundown. And then the plans changed, and then Joseph then had to come back and say, wow, I'm part now of something so much bigger. His first thought was, I need to divorce Mary, but I love her. And this shows the character of Joseph, that character of Joseph to try to protect this woman that he loved from being disgraced publicly. That would be stoned. So he tried to protect her, and he was going to sign off on a divorce quietly, you know, in the legal aspect and let her kind of get out of town. His plans changed. His plans changed. How many times, now I want to turn this around to us, because that's my thought of Joseph. Because this thought of Joseph, can you imagine, because this is what we don't know. The last time we see of Joseph, we see this here, and then we see him when Jesus was 12, when Jesus was at the temple, and they couldn't find Jesus. You know, we see these snippets of Joseph when he was raising Jesus. So we see him in the birth story. We see him when they were at the temple, and then we see him 12 years later when they're at the temple and Joseph, they were looking for Jesus, and that's what we know. But we know Jesus was a carpenter. So then we know, as a dad, as an earthly father of Jesus, what kind of influence did he have on Jesus' life? How did that look? When we think about Jesus in the birth story, we think of December, we think of Christmas, and we think about a manger. I think about, as a dad, what kind of influence that Joseph, the legal guardian, the legal earthly father, we know the Holy Spirit, God, we know the whole ramifications of Jesus is God from the Holy Spirit, but Joseph as the earthly father, what kind of influence do we have now that we know that he was a righteous man from the line of David? And that's how Jesus came into that line of David, through Joseph, the legal guardian of Jesus now. Well, we know he had some type of influence, because what was Jesus? What was Jesus' profession? What did he do? Was he a baker? He's a carpenter. What was Joseph? A carpenter. Wow. Think about that influence that this earthly man, Joseph, had on our Savior. We hear a lot about Mary, don't we? We hear tremendously much of Mary. And praise the Lord for Jesus' mother Mary, right? But how much do we know about Joseph? We don't hear a whole lot. But the influence that Jesus had to build some type of character of Jesus as a young boy had great influence. Joseph was a righteous man. Joseph, which we saw when he was getting ready to divorce Mary, had the dream, his plans changed, and now all of a sudden this righteous man knew the prophecy based on Jewish history from the prophets, and all of a sudden he's like, wow, I'm going to be part of something bigger. Did he think that? I don't know, but he had to trust Mary. And then he had to trust the angel. How many times I've never been confronted with an angel. Has anyone in here been confronted with an angel? Not that I know of. We know that there's angels around us, right? But, and I've a thought that we have, but I, yeah, who knows? But Joseph here, now a carpenter, simple carpenter. Once Jesus was born, this man had this influence into this young boy's life. Because we think about Jesus, have you ever thought about Jesus at like 2 years old, 5 years old? Like, have you ever thought about that? What was he doing? When we were in Israel and we were in the town where Jesus supposedly grew up, they talked, you know, you could envision it a little bit better. You saw where they had the wine press and where they would bring in the harvest and where they would winnow the grain. And so you think about it a little bit more, but what was Jesus doing at 5 years old? He was running around like a little kid. Our Savior, who took our punishment for our sin, who endured beatings and, forsaken by his own heavenly Father, at the cross, what was he doing at 5 years old? He was being influenced by this man, Joseph, because we know, because Joseph put his trade as his work into this young boy's life. as a carpenter. What else did he put into his life as a young guy? Because we know that Jesus had to learn. He had to learn to speak. He had to learn to walk, just like a kid, just like a baby. When you go into the crib and you pull him out of your bed, or when you look, this was Jesus as a young child, and the influence that Joseph had through his character. We see the character that Joseph had in 19. He was He must have been a compassionate man. He had to be a loving man, because he didn't go out. You know, it's kind of funny when you think about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and you think about Paul, who was a hardliner on the law, right? He was a hardliner on the law. Joseph wasn't like that. He followed the law. But he understood the law probably how it was meant to be, because he knew that this lady, Mary, could have been divorced, but she didn't have to die. Where some of the hardliners would have been like, okay, we're killing you. So Joseph had compassion. Did he teach that compassion into Jesus as a young boy? I would probably say, yeah. As a father, you know the influence you have on your kids. I mean, Joseph influenced him to be a carpenter. I think he also must have influenced him with love and compassion and grace and mercy and how to help people, how to help his neighbor, how to take care of his mom, how to take care of and help his brothers and sisters, which was probably hard then too. How many times does the brother not beat his other brother? I mean, you know, I'm just saying, but Jesus was still perfect. He won every battle with his brother. No, I don't know that, but Jesus was perfect. But how does that look? So when I think about Joseph and I think about these plans that Joseph had, and from the human aspect, and then all of a sudden these plans change, and these plans changed from a spiritual nature that you could never imagine, because Joseph knew at the time, someone can't get pregnant if they aren't with somebody. So Joseph had to begin to trust God in the beginning of the conception of Jesus. And obviously now, if we look at December, Mary is pregnant by this time, right? But this is when we celebrate. So Joseph had to put his trust, and I think of Joseph when we think about the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. You think it, because we don't hear about Joseph's faith. But this man's faith was like Abraham. This man's faith was like many of the faithful men that we see in Hebrews 11 that followed and wanted to serve and trusted God, because here Joseph had to step up and trust God and take the angel's word for it. How can you not take an angel's word for it? But took the angel's word for it and trusted God, and then married Mary, and then raised Jesus as his own child. And he knew, based on Isaiah, of what the plan would be. But yet, as you follow the Christmas story, you still think about when the angel showed up at the manger, when Joseph and Mary took baby Jesus to the temple to be circumcised. They were like in amazement about what people said about him. In our minds, when we think and hear about the story, we forget about this human aspect of what these people were really going through, because we think that they were so godly and that the lights just came down on them and they were surrounded by glory, and that's just not the case. And when I think about this guy, just like me, who fell in love with a woman and then all of a sudden is confronted and his plans changed, and then when his plans changed, he had no choice but of two things, trust God or not. And right here is when Joseph said, I'm going to trust God. He trusted God. He was a righteous man. So we know that he had all these this influence. And now I just want to step back and think, now turn that to us. Turn that human aspect of what we know about Joseph to us as we get ready to close. Are we trusting God when our plans change? Are we trusting God through that change? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes I'm a bear when change happens, right? And I have some conversations with the Lord and we go back and forth and obviously the Lord wins out. Hits me in the head and says, Jeff, wake up, you idiot, right? So I had these conversations, but are we trusting God? Are we trusting the Lord when things change, when our plans change? Are we living by faith? How many times do we not live by faith? Why? Because what does Proverbs tell us? What do we start off with? What does man do? Man makes plans and we stick to our plan. Good to have goals. I'm all about goals and having a plan. But when they change, are we trusting God and are we living by faith? Sometimes that's the hard part, isn't it? I mean, it's really hard to live by faith. It's really hard to live when your plan is off course and it just becomes hard. Are we stepping through this change? Through the process, when these things happen in our life, for God's purpose. Because what does Proverbs 21 say? Many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose prevails. The Lord's purpose prevails. That's what we see in Joseph's life. He had a plan. It changed. He trusted God for what he said, what the job now that he had before him to raise this young boy that was the son of God, that was our and is our savior, that was murdered, hung on a cross and rose again and went to heaven. And Joseph had that responsibility. His plans changed and he trusted God in that change. So as a guy, as a man. Are we handling those changes as we should, as maybe Joseph did? And we're going to look at Mary. In December, I just want to look at this Christmas story. So today we looked at Joseph and looked at it from the aspect of a very human point of view. And with that human point of view, where are we? Are we changing with God's plan? When we have our own plan for the purpose of God. What's God's purpose? God's purpose. That's what we need to take hold of, all of us. What is God's purpose for my life? Is it to make a whole bunch of money? Is it to plant tons of crops throughout? I don't know. But what's God's purpose? We all have a different purpose. What's our purpose? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the stuff that I see in Joseph's life, Lord. I don't even know really how to think how that even looked because, Jesus, you were raised by this earthly man with a earthly father that was sinful, but yet you were perfect and you came from heaven and you're God's son, but it really is confusing in my mind and you know that, Lord, and that's why I like to look at this, because I know through all this stuff, your love for us is so great that you were willing to be under the authority of an earthly, sinful man as a child, and Lord, and you love us, and you were willing to come into this world to to take our sins, because that's what you told us. That's why you were coming, to take away our sins. And we see that from the prophets. Lord, I thank you for my salvation, because I know, Lord, and you know that I'm a sinner and I cannot get to heaven by anything I do. Only through your blood that was shed for me. Lord, help us to remind ourselves that. Help us to live our purpose when our plans change, because you know we have a lot of plans. And when they change, help us to hang on and trust you and live by faith. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, before we leave, you can practice here. Jeff, you're going to practice on John this morning. John, get ready. What are we going to ask each other? I'm going to give you right off the sheet. Janet, just Janet knows. Have you ever, you turn to your neighbor, have you ever put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? If you've never done it, talk to me, but or talk to the person next to you. Begin to share the gospel. We're dismissed.